Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Last week, it was definitely last week, Tiki, I made a list. I made a list of Giants wide receiver trade targets. And that list got copied by a few others, which is okay. One of the guys on my list, and I admit, you guys didn't love the player when I brought him up, but one of the guys on my list as a Giants wide receiver trade target, according to Adam Schefter, has just been released, which means he will cost you nothing.
Who was this?
That player who was originally on my list a week ago and is now available is Tyler Lockett. The former Seattle Seahawk wide receiver. He was with the Tennessee Titans. We identified him because, A, the Titans were going nowhere. They had fired the head coach. Why not? So Tyler Lockett, according to Adam Schefter, has been released, and it's because he asked for it. So Tyler went to management and said, we suck.
Interesting.
Can you let me go?
Right.
So now that he's available for nothing, because when I brought him up, there was that mystery of, I have to give up an asset. Are you now interested in adding Tyler Lockett to the wide receiver room?
Tyler Lockett is, he just turned 33 years old. On the season, he's had a couple of catches. Not really. I mean, what, eight on the season?
Ten catches for the season. And in fairness, the Tennessee Titans have the 32nd ranked offense in the NFL.
Yeah, they're bad. They don't throw the ball nearly enough. And the thing that, I don't know, worries me, is he used to be this deep threat maven. And most of that was with Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks because Russell Wilson was great at throwing the deep ball. And in Tennessee, he didn't really have any shots at that. Would he have shots at that here? Because he's not a field stretcher per se. He's just really good at catching deep balls. So I don't think it fits what the Giants need, even though he's a veteran wide receiver who could bring some stability. But I don't think you need that.
He's a veteran wide receiver, brings stability. And one thing that Lockett's done really well over his career is he's dependable. He plays. He doesn't miss time. Right. So he would bring kind of veteran leadership. He'd bring dependability.
True. But let's not forget that last week, the Giants, last weekend in Denver, they only completed passes to one wide receiver.
Yes. Well, isn't that evidence that they could use another?
I don't know if it was necessarily about the wide receivers. I think it was out of the play calling.
Well, but part of it is who you have. I mean, Jalen Hyatt.
Strategy, though.
Yeah, but doesn't your strategy change if you have more options? Like, Jalen Hyatt's a bust. Yeah, like, he's become a waste of time at this point.
He doesn't. I don't even think he get looked at.
Right. I think he got maybe one or two looks the entire game.
Right. I mean, in theory, yes, but I just don't love that.
All right. It doesn't move Tiki.
Doesn't move me.
Does it move you, Sean?
It doesn't move me. I'm with Tiki in theory, yes, because I don't love this wide receiver room at all, but he provides nothing in terms of the future with Jackson Dart. And also, I mean, let's just be honest about Giants football right now. The man just asked for his release from the Tennessee Titans. If you're asking for your release and not controlling it via trade, why are you signing with a 2-5 team?
I think because you see the future, and you see that Jackson Dart can play.
At 33, you see the future, or are you seeing, I want to go to a team that I think is going to go to the playoffs, a la back to Seattle?
Maybe, if that opportunity arises, if Seattle offers him a deal.
That's probably more likely, because he can choose now. So it's not even about the Giants, and you're not going to overpay him.
They wouldn't be atop the list, clearly, but I think that they're not the Titans, put it that way.
Right.
They're not atop the list, so they're not going to be his number one option. But
what would be the point of coming here if he has the choice, he's not getting traded here, what would be the point?
I think there are two things that would be appealing about the New York Giants.
It's not going to be the money.
No, not the money. I think it would be, A, target possibilities, that you may look at that room and say...
Does he need that?
I think guys want to play.
Yeah.
You don't think a wide receiver would want to say, I want the ball in my hands, as opposed to just sitting around?
Schematically, though, he's not going to go play on the outside on this team. So we're just talking about having him and Wandell Robinson both as slot. Like, there's not going to be a lot of targets for the type of receiver.
But is he going to get a lot of targets elsewhere?
I don't know. I'm just giving you the answer on why he may pick the Giants. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't see him wanting the Giants, and I don't see it making sense for the Giants.
All right.
Period.
Can't wait to save all the tape when Tyler Lockett signs his 1 year deal with the Giants.
I mean, if he wants targets, he should go to your team that doesn't have a single wide receiver.
Yeah, but we're not going after him. I mean, I guess the Jets could because they need bodies.
But that's what I mean. You could get a million targets with it.
Yeah, but that's different. I mean, when you talk about why would he sign with the Giants are 2-5 and they're trending up. 2-4 and trending up. 2-5 and trending up. 2-5 and trending up.
Yeah. Trending up.
The Jets are 0-7 and suck.
Right.
And we don't even know who their quarterback is.
But you could
get
a million targets. You could up your value and then sign. I assume he's a free agent. You could sign somewhere else next year.
No, but when Tiki asked, or Sean asked, why would you sign with the Giants? I'm using multiple factors, not just targets. I'm looking at the combination of targets, a team that's trending up, not really the obvious chance to win. It's more than one thing usually when a player picks a team. Yeah. I don't think it's one thing. It's a few things.
Right, but it doesn't make any sense. I thought Sean had a great point last week. The Giants are in a position right now where they could spend a lot of money because the quarterback doesn't make any money. So to me, sign a big free agent receiver, trade for one, or draft one in the first round.
Right. So all no to Tyler Lockett.
No, more importantly, Tommy just gave me credit for a great point, so I'm just going to fly high on this the rest of the day.
You're good. Your day is good
today.
Yeah,
I'm good, man.
Let's go to Connor in Trumbull, Connecticut. What's up, Connor?
What's going on, boys? How are we doing?
We're doing good.
All right. So before I get to my question here for you guys, because I'm interested in your opinion here, I think as a suffering Jet fan, I think this can relate to all the folks who aren't Jet fans. So I was hospitalized a month ago. I get out of the hospital and feel a little bit better. My best friend John, who's a Steelers fan, says, you should come over and watch the game. It's an early game, London game. It's cool, whatever. And I said, come over for what? He goes, the Jet game, you know? You're going to feel better. You can relax. I said, I just got out of the hospital. Do you want me to go back? Are you kidding me? I know you're my best friend, but that is the stupidest thing you've ever said. Why in God's name?
Did you watch it at all? Connor, did you watch it at all, though? That's the question.
I did, and my best friend looked at me and goes, oh, my God, I will never complain about my comment ever again. He goes, I could take any relative of mine who is blind, deaf, or dumb and could teach and it could coach the semi-athletic JV team better. Thank you.
Yeah, it's bad. well said. It's bad. It's an awful, awful watch. I think what's important, and it's tough to do this because it's not like a switch, is you've got to remind yourself when you watch the Jets on Sunday, whether on TV or at the game, you got to remind yourself, don't freak out over every inept thing because they just suck.
Yeah.
And we have to accept that 2025, much like 24, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19, 18, et cetera,
same old Jets,
is another lost season.
But it doesn't mean that this can't be the start of something with Aaron Glenn, because we don't know that yet. I think you have to be fair to a first-year head coach. The jury is still out.
Well, you want me to be really fair? I'm going to give you a stat that's going to blow your mind.
What is that?
It's a positive Jets stat. And they're 0-7, so it's like, how could you even come up with a positive Jet stat?
How'd you even find this stat?
Well, I did it with my head, because I started thinking to myself, all right, they lose to Carolina 13-6. It set football back a decade, but nevertheless, it was a one-score game. I took my son to a game in which the New York Jets had a chance to win the football game in the final minute. The week before against Denver, we all know the deal. It was a winnable game.
Mm-hmm.
In 5 of the 7 losses, it's been a one-score game.
Yeah.
Now, you hear that and you say, who cares? It's the NFL. I always say that to you guys. It doesn't matter. You lost. In 2020, which to me is like the modern benchmark for Jet suckitude, that really turned into the tank season in which they ended up finishing 2-14. How many times do you think they lost a game by one score or less?
One.
The answer to that question all year long.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 4. And so it shows you the Jets have already surpassed that.
Right.
In this season.
So they're not, they're bad, but they're not getting blown out bad.
Right.
And by the way, one score games are, when you become a good team and you find how to win, those turn into wins.
Right. And
you know what it is? So,
but eventually they do in the course of the season have to turn into a few wins.
Yes.
For anyone to believe in that point and say, oh, it means something. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. And so it could turn into that. We don't know. We just talked about Kyle Shanahan. Zach really didn't have it, Taylor, with the Cincinnati Bengals. They were just bad the whole season long. 2-14, I think they finished his rookie season as a head coach after starting 0-11. But you got to find the positives when you can. And the challenge, I think, for the Jets is what are those positives? Breece Hall, I think, is one. But I don't think he's going to be here long term. And I guess some of the components on the defense are part of that, but how do you find the positives with the Jets?
That is the only positive I have. The New York Jets have lost more one-score games this season already than they have through the entirety of 2020.
Sports Talk on WFN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Let's go to Peter, and I'm not even sure how to pronounce this. Was it Pequannock?
Pequannock.
Pequannock.
Oh, Pequannock. Yeah. Oh, I've even heard of that. Yeah. All right, what's up, Peter?
What's up?
My way. So just because this is what we do in October as Jets fans and join the pity party, can you imagine if the Jets traded down from number 7 and took somebody like a Tyler Warren or an Egbuka and then traded back into the first a la the Giants and got Dart, what our season would look like? I mean, you're talking about, a field goal here, a couple of receptions there.
Yeah, it's interesting. Peter, it's a good question because just given what Evan just talked about, let's say you draft Jackson Dart and he starts right away, he's winning one of these games for sure. you have Egbuka as well. He's definitely breaking open one of these games. And so at the very least, I'd say you'd be at least 2-5.
You can do this, though.
It's impossible to really rationalize it.
But you can do this for every draft.
Of course you can.
You can just say,
this one in particular, because it's right in your face. No, I get Jackson you. Dart.
But that's not a knock on Armon Membu. Like, he got off to a really good start. And it's tough to judge offensive linemen because you basically, have to tiki it and analyze the tape to find out how productive he's been. The problem is the Jet offensive line got off to a good start and hasn't been great the last couple of weeks.
Right.
But, yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm not arguing the point. Like, they draft Tyler Warren, then they trade back late into the first round. They get Jack. Of course, it'd be fantastic.
This is the problem when you're bad like this and there's nothing to look forward to. You start playing the hypothetical game.
Right.
That has absolutely nothing to do with this current team. You're not focused on this team at all in any capacity other than 2026 or maybe the 2026 draft and then what comes of that. So now you start speculating. And not that that's fine, I guess, but it just inches you closer to irrelevancy for 2025.
Well, the speculation on the past makes you go crazy. Like me earlier thinking about, they passed on Jackson Dart, they passed on Shedeur Sanders. Wouldn't this season have more intrigue if we were watching a young quarterback? That'll drive you crazy. Thinking about the draft in April, while it's depressing because it's so far away, at least there's something productive to
right.
that.
Of course.
Because it's going to happen. Right. There's going to be a draft.
Right, and you're trending towards having your pick of the litter.
Yes. Just think about this, and I'll incorporate the basketball fans out there. If you are a Knicks fan and a Giant fan, like Tommy, or a Knicks fan or a Giants fan, the way Sean is as a Giants fan, you have a season to watch. But if you happen to root for the Jets and or the Nets, you're literally thinking about a draft. That's your season. Your season is the draft. Before the season is even halfway over, or in basketball's case, before it even starts,
right.
You're literally thinking about, who am I going to get and where am I picking?
Unless Danny Wolf is Nikola Jokic.
Did the Nets get relegated to the WNBA?
And he has a better chance than Justin Fields does of becoming Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, I feel better about that comment a week later than even a week ago. For those that missed it, I said that Danny Wolf, who is a basketball player. I just need to clarify.
In this town.
He was drafted late first round by the Brooklyn Nets. He has a better chance to be Nikola Jokic than Justin Fields has to be Patrick Mahomes.
Which first round pick was he? 3?
He was the last one.
Last one.
Yeah, he was not the Nick one. Actually, I got to go back and look. I get confused if Saraf was the Nick one or the other. Whatever. Don't get me in the weeds on this.
I just wanted to know if you were really doubting on your Nets.
The point I am. The point is, Woody Johnson agrees with me. He doesn't think Justin Fields could be Patrick Mahomes. Chris and Bayshore. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hey, guys. Evan, I'm not sure that you want to brag about Woody agreeing with you.
I'm joking, obviously.
But, yeah, I know. But listen, I called yesterday, and I was pretty hard on Dayball. I don't know if you remember, but I feel much better today. I got some of that Dayball sleep that I missed on Sunday back last night, so I'm okay.
Right.
But
now you can think rationally.
That's the thing. I really, like I said, I respect your view, and I know you said you liked him personally or whatever, but I don't know what to make of the whole thing. I know that because of Dart's success and because of the fact that he's his guy, you know, that's like money in the bank and credibility and all.
Yeah.
But I look at it and I just feel terrible because I know that with the history of recent coaches, he's just not the guy.
Unless he starts winning, that's a big if. Because if he's not the coach next year, what are you doing? Who are you going to get to make Jackson Dart continue his growth that he's started to pick up, obviously, in the first couple of games that he started? Now, the answer could just be Jackson Dart's a good quarterback, and it won't matter who is mentoring him as long as it's not someone who's defensive-minded and just says, hand it off 30 times a game, Jackson. Right? You got to be able to take advantage of his skill set, and I think this staff is doing that. Right? The play calling is showing you that. And Jackson Dart is thriving. Last week, Sean was telling me he was top two or three Rookie of the Year.
He's the full-blown favorite.
He's the full-blown favorite to be Rookie of the Year. Now, that's just because there's not a ton of rookies, and Abuka got hurt with a hamstring. I'm trying to think who else is even in that conversation. But Jackson Dart's going to be good. So it gets confusing when you try to put the credit on why he's going to be good. So is it him?
Right.
Or is it the staff? It's clearly a combination of both, but that factors into the decision at the end of the year, but only if this team is winning.
If you are deciding Brian Daboll's fate based squarely on Jackson Dart, you will likely want to keep Brian Daboll.
Yes.
If you are deciding Brian Daboll's fate on wins and losses.
Yes.
And the future of wins and losses, then the jury's way out.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they finish 5-12, despite thinking you have the answer at quarterback, still a very exciting attribute for your team, it is understandable to want to go into the offseason and say, I want to do better.
Yeah.
Because I so believe in Jackson Dart that I don't think Brian Daboll being gone is going to somehow ruin his development. Because Dart, and it is very early for me to say this, but I want to be honest, I'm watching what you guys are watching. Mm-hmm. I have an opinion. I'm not going to stick with my thoughts from August, which is don't start the guy the whole year. I was wrong. The guy's ready.
Right.
Like you said yesterday, Tommy, start Dart, the Revolution won. I'm with you. Congratulations. So now I'm just evaluating what I'm seeing, and I'll tell you this. He looks coach-proof. And what I mean by that is he looks like one of those guys that if the Jets drafted him, Aaron Glenn would look like a genius.
Hmm.
And there are certain guys that can do that. Now, there are other guys where, boy, you really need to be in the right situation.
Right.
But he gives off a vibe that
makes I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah, that makes you believe that if they decided to move on from Dabes because they didn't win enough, which is a fair reason, that I wouldn't be overly concerned of a new administration ruining him because I think he's got a chance to be that good.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that 100%. I'm trying to think of who else is who has been like that. It's weird because I think
Joe Burrow.
Trevor Lawrence feels like that. I'm talking about that it's actually happened.
Oh, okay. So where the coach loses the job and it didn't ruin them.
Yeah, it didn't
ruin
them.
Gotcha.
There's not a ton of them.
Yeah.
Trevor's probably as close as it gets.
There are guys like who I look at and say, boy, it wouldn't have mattered who their coach was.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to bust through and be a star. And to me, that's why my answer was Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
I almost want to say it about Mahomes, but Andy Reid is so freaking good that I pause. I don't think Josh Allen would have been great if he was drafted by the Jets or the Giants. No offense.
Right.
I really don't.
Because he needed a lot of development.
Yeah.
And it happened quickly, and he got it quickly. But if it was on a bad team, he would have kept those bad habits that he had in college.
Yes. Yeah. And then you look at a guy like Sam Darnold, where he needed to go to a competent franchise.
Yep.
And now he's been on two of them, and he looks like the real deal. Ew. Evan and Tiki on this very busy Tuesday. Congratulations to the Toronto Blue Jays. They are American League champions. And congratulations to Don Mattingly. I saw Yankee fans were very excited last night that they couldn't get it done for him, nor would they hire him as manager. But at least Donnie gets to experience a World Series as he is on the Schneider coaching staff. And so we got Blue Jays Dodgers. More on that in a couple of days.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, very exciting. Let's get to some of your calls. I'm going to play a brand new game of Posted and Toasted. 888-808-1019. Patrick in Melville. What's up, Patrick? Hey, Patrick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All's well.
You know, I've been listening to the fan literally since I was in college. And I remember when Evan was with Joe, and Joe was like, I'm never going to see another Jets championship. And you know what, Evan? I don't know. You might not ever see another Jets championship.
I agree. I thought it was just Joe. Now I think it's me, too.
No, but think about it this way, because after the great Woody Johnson, you have Breck to look forward to as your owner. So I don't know what's going to happen.
What is he?
With you
He's
guys,
only
you know 18. What I mean?
He's not going to be the owner.
Yeah, but you know the way monarchs work, Teak. When the king dies or goes away, who becomes the new king? The son. I guess Christopher Johnson could slide on over.
I think Chris Johnson is. They're close to the same age, right?
Christopher and Woody? I don't know the age difference, but Christopher is a little bit younger. Yeah. I think the Jets are in his family. Like, I know it's different with the Giants because you got to go all the way back to Tim Mara, to Wellington Mara, to John Mara, and that is a real family business. But remember this about family business, Tiki. They have to start somewhere.
True.
So even though Woody took over at an older age in 2000, is it possible that 90 years from now, it is still in the Johnson & Johnson hands?
I mean,
yes!
Possibly.
Yes.
And especially if the value of the franchise keeps going up and your net worth, which is already in the billions, gets even more in the billions. I mean, why not?
Yeah, it could continue. Sam's in Manhattan. What's up, Sam?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
You listen to Woody speak, and he should just go away, because every time he talks, it just reminds you of how poor the stewardship is of this organization. And, you know, you guys said it. And he's criticizing Fields, which is fair enough. But they made that choice. They signed him to a 2-year contract. They
their
paid
choice.
An off-market number.
Yep.
They loaded up with wide receivers that probably shouldn't be in an NFL roster. You know, he's complimenting the special teams. They have a 41-year-old kicker. I mean, they're not turning around the special teams. They have a good punter because they have to punt all the time. And the defense isn't turning around. They it's been good the last 2 weeks, but it was fine last year and it was fine the year before it.
Right.
And you just... You hear the guy speak, and Evan, it reminds me of the Nets in the early 2000s when Rod Thorne took over. That's when the team really pivoted, and I don't know who the equivalent is in football right now or who's attainable, but as long as he owns it for the next 90 years, like you guys said, you need that team president
Sam,
to oversee all of
you,
it because it's...
You're so right, because we always use Parcells as an example.
Yeah.
And sometimes, if you're older, we use George Young as an example. But a lot of teams in this town have an example where there's bad ownership, and they make one decision, and that decision is to hire the right adult.
Yes.
And that adult changes everything.
100%.
Rod Thorne did that for the then New Jersey Nets because everything changed. Everything changed. And I think that, in a way, Sandy Alderson did that for the New York Mets when the Wilpons were going through their financial issues. And Sandy took over, and it wasn't easy. And guess what? They're in a World Series.
Yeah.
And they're in the playoffs in back-to-back years. And in the Knicks case, because James Dolan was routinely ripped as the worst owner in this town. It was a first-time guy in Leon Rose, but he hired the right guy. Leon has done an incredible job. He isn't perfect, but for the half a decade he's been here, he turned out to be... the guy that changed everything.
Yeah, and some of that is just luck. It's also getting the right advice from the right people. And maybe that's just been the issue, you know, with the Jets, is you're not getting the right suggestions. Now, I feel like Aaron Glenn is probably the right suggestion. Whoever gave him the advice, maybe it was just him from being familiar with him.
He's known him, as he said, since 96.
Right, he's known him forever. So perhaps, you know, again, I want to say it's lucky. Sometimes you just get lucky.
Sometimes it is luck.
You know what I mean?
Sometimes it truly is. Let's play a brand new edition of Posted and Toasted.
It's time for Posted and Toasted.
Read some old tweets of FAN coworkers. Tiki will guess who it is, and we'll have a theme today. The theme being Canada, Toronto, and the Blue Jays. Are you ready?
Yes.
If George Springer signs with the Blue Jays, I will be disappointed. He was tops on my list this offseason for the Mets. That said, getting Brad a hand and Jackie Bradley Jr. would definitely ease the pain. That was from January 19th, 2021. So the guy wants Springer, but don't worry, if we don't get him, we get Brad Hand and JBJ. Was that Evan Roberts, Sal Licata, Tommy Lugauer, or Greg Giannotti?
I think that was you, Evan.
You're wrong.
Was it not you?
Because Brad Hand and JBL was not going to...
JBL is John Branshaw
JBJ,
Layfield.
My
wrestlers.
Apologies.
Yeah. Right. That was Tommy then.
Start dart.
Yeah, that's right.
There it is. Tommy was right.
Imagine this Mets team with George Springer.
Tommy was right.
I wonder.
Just like you were right with start and dart.
I wonder if Springer would have lasted because like he had some bad years.
Oh, got it. For a couple of years.
Right. I wonder if Steve Cohen would have written it off as a loss and gotten rid of him 2 years ago when he wasn't healthy and producing.
But I don't remember how bad those years were. Were they bad, bad? Were they just down?
It was a lack of health and production. But George Springer's a winning ball player, and I think we all kind of knew that at the time. The question was, what does this contract look like? And it's the beauty of a contract. It's ending incredibly well.
Very well.
I mean, he's an icon after that home run last night.
So three-run bomb, no doubter.
That was majestic.
It was awesome.
That was very, very cool. This is from April 11th, 2022. The Blue Jays home run jacket is the opposite of cool. It's hideous, and I'm sure they don't know that. Springer dinger, and now we're down 2-0 again. It's from 2022.
They had that same jacket for the last three seasons?
Yeah, and Springer's hitting home runs.
Lame.
All right, is that Sean Morash, Keith McPherson, Chris McMonigle, or Brandon Tierney?
That sounds like a Morash tweet.
You're wrong.
How am I wrong on these?
I thought it was me, too.
That sounds like something you would say. BT.
You're wrong.
Must be Big Mac.
You're wrong.
Keith McPherson.
The flexing Pegasus we're riding.
I tell you, he was ahead of it, man, because that home run jacket was obnoxious.
He would comment on the fashion. Yes, definitely. I can see that.
It is amazing they've been doing it for that long. Like, usually you have a bit, and then it's like, it's over. You know?
Especially when it doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, because they, you know, what have they won in the last couple of years? This is from October 27th, 2011. Oh, Canada needs to change some words. I mean, when was the last time Canada was in war? Is that Al Dukes, Jerry Recco, Sean Morash, or Greg Giannotti?
It's not Greg Giannotti because you had to think about who you would put in that list. So I'm going to say it's Al Dukes.
You're wrong.
Gio?
You're wrong.
Gio?
You're wrong.
I said Gio already.
Is that you? I don't think it's me, but I think based on his choices, it's Jerry.
You're wrong.
It is you, Sean. Yeah, you don't remember that? Yeah.
What the hell do I know about Canada and wars?
I don't know.
That's the last person I would have guessed.
Okay, so why I thought it was Jerry is I didn't think it was me, and it took the date telling me somebody was at a hockey game thinking of the words to Canada, and Jerry goes to Devil Games.
Yeah, no, it's probably you at a Ranger game. I wonder if they scored goals that night at home.
Did you go?
Dude, I must have been blinded.
To a Ranger game? In 2011?
Definitely.
That's like 14 years ago.
I probably did. My guess is I was probably pretty tuned up.
It was at 7:15 p.m., so yeah. It was early in the game.
I probably hit the bars pregame, but I don't know about Canada's war history.
All right. Well, let's see who knows.
Yeah, that's why it surprised me.
It surprised me,
you
too.
You got to know history to know that one.
You should look up if the Rangers had a home game that night, just out of curiosity.
What date?
October 27th, 2011. Fact check that. Anyhow, speaking of Canada, this is from April 20th, 2012.
Jeez.
They have some of the, quote, nicest, unquote, waitresses in Canada. Hashtag foreign relations.
BT.
Brandon Tierney.
You're wrong.
Boomer Esiason, Al Dukes, or Tommy Lugauer?
That's just Tommy.
You're wrong.
Tommy's never been to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I have been to Montreal once. Great strip clubs.
They have some of the nicest
adult
waitresses in Canada. Hashtag foreign relations.
This is Al?
You're wrong.
I'm bad today, man.
Boomer!
My mind is off.
Science.
The guy that's running the government is an idiot.
I think he was probably at like a restaurant and wanted to comment.
In 2012?
Yeah. Well, he goes to Canada. He's a world traveler. I think he plays hockey up there. Mm. But that was like the way he put the quote around nicest.
I can see it now.
Makes me think that he wanted to say the waitresses were hot. Mm. But instead of just saying that, because he's Boomer, he's a classy guy, he said they have some of the nicest.
He didn't want to say, she got that seat meat.
That's clearly what he meant, right?
Yes, definitely.
He's not saying they're nice. Like, oh, they're so sweet to me.
They're so kind.
They're so kind. By the way.
Rangers, by the way, lost 4-2 to the Toronto Maple Leafs at the Garden.
Oh, so we nailed it.
That's why. You were mad then.
Nailed it. So I have to give you a thought, and two things have brought this together. Greg Giannotti and the WWE. I know that may not sound similar, but I listen to our guys, Boomer and Gio, in the morning.
Yep.
And I watch professional wrestling. And I'll walk you through this. So a few days ago, accusations were made against SmackDown, the program.
Yeah.
That the WWE writers didn't write SmackDown, they used AI. Okay? Is it real?
What do you mean they didn't write SmackDown?
Like the writers for the WWE didn't write the TV show. They had AI write the TV show. And that last week's SmackDown was the first ever AI-driven WWE programming.
So by that, you mean what happens in the matches?
Yeah, like what the matches will be, right. What the script is. Like basically,
why would you do that?
Maybe because the writers stink and they were like, hey, how can we be more creative? Let's try AI.
Okay, so what happened in that SmackDown?
Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre battled each other and Jacob Fatu got jumped. Not even the point, but the accusations are AI wrote that.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out the point, but keep going.
Oh, we'll get there. So then I was even thinking, I was like, my God, if this is true, would a sports team ever one day just say, we're going to hire AI to be a general manager? Like, would a team say, screw it, instead of having a real general manager, let's have an AI general manager?
I mean.
Now, here's where Gio gets involved. He, this morning, brought up the idea of, would Joe Beningo fall for the idea that the Jets are hiring AI as a head coach? And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, this is real life.
Yeah.
So, first of all, Gio's impression of Joe is unbelievable. So, would you like to hear?
Let's hear this.
This is not Joe B, though it may sound like it. This is Gio, nor AI. This is Gio imitating Beningo, reacting.
To finding out that a GM is an AI.
The head coach is AI.
The head coach is AI.
Yeah, that, my idea was GM, but Gio brought up, would Joe fall for AI as head coach of the New York Jets? Here was his response.
Listen, bro, I'm all for it. I mean, the humans haven't worked all that well, if you know what I mean. Can it be any worse than the humans? If you know what I mean? I'm willing to give it a shot, bro. I mean, it's year after year after year. You can change the quarterback. You can change the stadium. You can change the uniforms. You can get robots coaching the team, AI bots. It's the same thing year in and year out.
That's amazing. That actually sounds like Joe.
I know it does.
His impersonation has gotten better as Joe's voice has gotten older. He's also gotten the impersonation to sound
that
older.
That is hilarious.
No question. So
the problem is, you couldn't ever have a head coach be AI.
Well, no.
You might be.
Why
able
not?
You might be able to have the GM AI.
Why can't a head coach be AI?
The head coach has got to be on the sideline. Well, the GM could just be anywhere.
But the computer could be on the sideline. Every situation and personnel group can come
you
out
mean
the way
not
AI.
Trying to fix, not trying to fool anybody.
No.
You mean just straight up. We are hiring AI, whoever,
yes,
to be our head coach.
Yes.
Oh, I got it.
Like, Gio was joking about it this morning. I was thinking about it last week because of the WWE thing, and I didn't think of a head coach. I thought of more of a GM.
But what? Okay.
But why not? Like, by the way, I'll make you a long-term prediction. This is going to happen.
By the way, coaches should be.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Gio.
Boomer and Gio is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Gio, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Informed by AI. And I'm not even joking.
No, they should. Well, it's analytics, right?
It is. It's absolutely analytics. Now, you need to build a new AI system that's learned from historical NFL data.
Yeah.
But that's easy. So I'm serious. Like, to get to do a language learning for an AI that just has football.
Yeah.
Just football. And every decision and why it worked. And I think they actually have this already.
I'm sure they do, but it's just like real people are interpreting the information and then making their own decisions.
Yeah, but it's pre-interpretive. I'm talking about in real time.
Mm.
Third and five, fourth quarter, we have a two-possession lead. What do we do, AI?
You think that's what Daboll did on Sunday?
I'm just saying. What do you do?
Yeah.
I wonder what that would kick out.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
I think that...
Two timeouts. We have two timeouts. They have one left. All of that.
No, I think that we are headed towards a day.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure which franchise is going to do it. I'm not sure if they're going to be honest about it. They may lie like the WWE and do it under the covers. But eventually...
I wonder if it's even legal. I wonder if the NFL would allow it.
I mean, would it surprise you if Woody Johnson at his next press conference says, "All right, guys, I love Jet fans. I got a gift for you. AI is the new general manager."
844 Bad Tiki.
Maybe that's where Bad Tiki is right now.
Would that surprise anybody, though?
I doubt they would allow it, the NFL, because they already don't allow, like, technology. You can't have a cell phone on the sideline.
Right.
Much less an AI telling you what to do.
What's the first sport that involves AI in a, like, the first in general manager AI? I
mean, well,
baseball? Probably baseball. That's who's replacing Cashman in 5 years.
Can't be worse.
Brian Cashman AI.
Doesn't Adam Gase also look like if AI became a person?
Yeah. I try to forget his existence, but yes. Yes, indeed.
Baseball. I think it could only be baseball.
You think so?
What happens if you have AI as a coach and somebody figures out how to hack the system?
You're in trouble.
Yeah. You better have a human backup.
Yeah. Well, those are really powerful questions, Sean, because we're going to have to answer that for all walks of life.
Okay. Okay.
Let's go to Tom in Queens. What's up, Tom? Hey, Tom.
Tom, what's up, dude?
Hey, how are we doing? Sorry.
That's good.
Now, how about this scenario? I wanted to know what you guys could think about this. Moving forward to next year, to fix this whole coaching thing, if we find a way to get all these people out of their TV contracts and everything else, Tiki can make this happen. Eli as coach, Tiki as offensive coordinator, Michael Strahan as defensive coordinator. We have the best of all worlds. Thank you for taking my call.
Tom, here's why you're so mistaken. And I don't mean any disrespect to Tiki, but I'm going to use you as the person I'm going to take a shot at.
Yes.
Okay, because I'm not going to take a shot at Eli or Strahan. I'll save that for another day. Mm. You're a brilliant football mind. You got a great personality. We all love you. Mm-hmm. You know who else is a brilliant football mind? Aaron Glenn. Yes. You know who else is a legend? Aaron Glenn. You know who else has a great personality? Aaron Glenn. Like, it's awesome that you're a giant legend. It's awesome that Strahan's a giant legend. It's awesome that you guys love Don Mattingly. The idea that you think that's going to somehow work magic? Come on.
Mike Vrabel's a Patriot legend.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it never works, Sean. I mean, obviously there are scenarios where it can. Hopefully Aaron Glenn works. But a lot of times, like, just because someone's a name that you like doesn't mean it's going to turn into magic.
Is Vrabel the only one where he's a coach at the place where he was a legend?
Yeah, because Jim Harbaugh was not a legend with the Chargers. He just quarterbacked.
Yeah, he just quarterbacked there for a little bit.
Jason Kidd did it for 1 year with my basketball team.
Yeah, I don't think there's any in the NFL. I have to think about that.
I'd have to think.
Oh, D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, and he's doing a good enough job.
He was all-pro rookie of the year down there. But he hasn't, I mean, he had a couple of good years, but two playoffs. I guess, I mean.
There's a level of legend.
Yeah.
Like, Eli Manning and you will eventually be Hall of Famers. Michael Strahan is a Hall of Famer. Jason Kidd is a Hall of Famer. If you're just a really good player, right. Like Aaron Glenn was a really good player. No offense to Aaron. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Like, that's a different level of legend.
He's in the Ring of Honor, right?
But, like, being a legend? No.
Is Aaron Glenn a legend for the New York Jets?
I think he was a really good player. I wouldn't call him
Aaron
a legend.
Aaron Glenn's not in the Ring of Honor for the Jets?
I don't think so. I'd have to double check who's in it.
You have to check. I don't even know who's in there. I mean, I should know because I see it.
I was staring at it on Sunday.
Right.
And I was also asking, like, who am I on top of? Because I'm on the, like, right above legends.
Yes.
So I was trying to, like, twerk my head down and see who I was on top of. I know I was staring at Darrell Revis. Like, he was straight up opposed from me. Let's go to Zach in Massapequa, who was also at the Jet game on Sunday. What's up, Zach?
Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. So I was there on Sunday. It was so bad. like so bad. And I come from Massapequa, so like it's not easy for me to get there. What a bad, I mean, it was a great time. I was with my family and all that. It was a great day. But the product on the field is just so bad. Like there, I've seen bad football before. I've been a Jets fan my whole life. It doesn't resemble the sport that I bought a ticket to go see. I don't know where you start. I was talking with my family at the game. We're pretty much over with Glenn, right? I mean, not that like we've given him a fair chance because seven games just isn't enough. So
no,
I understand that. I completely get that. So say we go 0-17. Everything looks awful. He looks like he has no answers for anything. Are you guys opposed to bringing in a guy like John Gruden? I am, but there's a lot of talk about it, so I would just love to hear what you guys got to say.
Yeah, you keep hearing John because he seems like the one vet who has experience as a Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl championship, who would take it.
Because he's desperate.
Because he wants to get back into coaching. He wants to be a head coach.
But he's also, like, I think desperate is a fair word because has he been offered any jobs?
No, he won't be as long as he has this lawsuit against the league. I mean, this is what it is. And so I know that I know he wants to coach again. I just don't know who would hire him again.
I think that.
As including the Jets.
No, I get you. I don't know if anyone will because no one's offered him anything.
Yeah.
Number one, I'll make you a prediction. October 21st, save the audio, save the date. They're not going 0-17. I'm telling you right now, they're not.
No, they're not.
They're not going 0-17.
I agree with you.
They're going to
There's
win
too many close games.
Yeah,
even if they're ugly as hell.
Five of the seven losses are one score games. And there's a lot of bad football. Doesn't mean a lot of bad football teams, but there's a lot of teams that will play really bad games on a week by week basis. So right now, his question was presented as if they go 0-17. I don't think they're going 0-17. Number two, I need to see progress to really answer his question. Like, is there a scenario where I'm sitting here with Tiki on January 5th saying, hey, they should fire Aaron Glenn? Absolutely. Yeah. I'm open to that.
But it would have to get a lot worse.
It's got to be really bad.
It would be a lot of checked outness.
It takes a lot of incompetence to lose your job after 1 year. Mm. It does. So I'm open to it because I'm a fan. I'm always going to just say what I think is best for the franchise. But there are 10 weeks left in this season. Like, let's see what those 10 weeks look like. If they lose every game and they're non-competitive, and like you said, Teak, guys are checking out, then, I'll be sitting on the radio saying they got to fire this guy. But I'm not there 7 weeks in.
No.
I'm disgruntled. I'm losing faith. I'm angry. But to go to the extreme level of fire the coach after 1 year, not quite there. Mike in Stony Brook. Hey, Mike.
Mike, what's up, dude?
Mike going once. Mike is gone. Let's go to Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, Gabe.
So, sorry, but you guys forgot that there already is a GM. There is an AI GM in sports. His name is Brian Cashman. What are you guys talking about? Like, I don't understand. This guy's got his little formula he puts into a computer, and it spits out like a bunch of guys with high strikeout rates. So, on that note, I did want to get your thoughts on this, right? Like, this World Series right now is a team with sluggers with low strikeout rates versus the best team that money could buy. Is there a world where the Yankees in this offseason actually try to build a team, the best team that money can buy, with that change in hitting philosophy, or are they cooked? Because I'm not seeing a lot of hope for them moving
forward. But hold on. Can I ask you a question?
Please.
Did the Mariners come very close to winning the pennant last night?
They did.
They strike out as much as the Yankees do.
Yeah.
They do. Totally fair.
So because the Blue Jays don't strike out a lot, which is an absolutely true statement, and it's a great attribute of them, do you think that last night's result proves that that's the winning formula?
I think that the Blue Jays' performance over the regular season, plus what they've done in the postseason run, speaks to how that formula works. But you're also failing to recognize that the Mariners have one of the best pitching staffs in baseball.
Right.
It's not just hitting. And I know I was bringing up hitting. But I'm just saying, Dodgers have the best team that money can buy, both hitting and pitching. And that was more my point.
Okay,
are you going to go that route?
Gabe, don't the Blue Jays also have great pitching right now?
Great pitching. Yeah, absolutely.
And so isn't that more of what the Yankees need?
I think that they really need a change in terms of the way that they're approaching, what hitting's going to look like. Because they got a lot of sluggers.
So every year is different. right? When the Texas Rangers win the World Series, we try to copy them.
Mm-hmm.
When the L.A. Dodgers win the World Series, we copy them.
Yeah, but they won it with multiple bullpen games.
Right, but that's the point.
Yeah.
Every team that's won championships, there isn't one exact formula. So what I'm taking issue with is using the Blue Jays' lack of strikeouts, which they had this year, to prove, well, see, that's the formula. They came very close to losing to a team that strikes out nearly as much as the Yankees in the Mariners.
Yeah.
Like, there are many different ways. I hate the phrase many ways to skin a cat, because why are we skinning cats? That seems barbaric. Mm. But that's the point. So if you can think of another phrase I can use instead of many ways to skin a cat, let me know.
Shear a lamb.
Why are we getting violent on animals?
I said shear. It's just cutting the coat off.
Oh, would you want your coat cut off?
I mean, I'm bald, so who cares?
All right, fair enough. The point is, last night doesn't prove that. Now, one of the last questions I asked Brian Cashman when he was on last week was, do you think you guys need to strike out less? And he said yes.
Yeah.
So obviously, as they're building the roster next year, he'd like to cut down on that number, and who wouldn't? But I just reject the notion that there's an absolute formula. And the idea that the Blue Jays were a really good bat-on-ball team mm-hmm. has now proven, well, that's clearly the formula.
Right. But they were pretty good.
By the way, Ring of Honor for the Jets, Namath, Curtis Martin, Klecko, Larry Grathman, Freeman McNeil, Wesley Walker, Marty Lyons, Leon Hess, Matt Snell, Darrell Revis, DeBrickashaw Ferguson, Don Maynard, Winston Hill, Weeb Eubank, Gary Philbin, Al Toon, Mark Gastineau, Wayne Krabet, Emerson Boozer, Kevin Mawai, and Nick Mangold.
There you go. Not a Ring of Honor guy. More of your calls coming up. Plus, Tom Thibodeau is the former coach of the New York Knicks. But is he doing the Knicks dirty?
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.